Okay, today is Monday, the 17th of the month of Av. We begin at the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar Yeshua ben Levi. Af pi shekara adam kriya shema bebeis ha-kineses, mitzvah lekroso al mitaso. Even though a person was yotzei the chova of kriya shema, one fulfills the obligation to say shema in shul, there remains a mitzvah to say it when going to sleep. I'm sure Rabbi Sugarman covered on the first daf, the Machlokas Rashi Tosos, how much of Shema needs to be said. What's the obligation of the mitzvah? First sentence, the first paragraph, the whole thing. Can you fulfill the mitzvah with the Kriya Shema Lamita? But here the Gemara says, even if you fulfilled Kriya Shema already, we still have the a mitzvah, it's an interesting lashon, a mitzvah, to say it amitaso. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maikra, how do you know this? So based on the pasuk, says the pasuk in Tehillim, Rigzu v'yal techetou imu bevavchem amishkavchem v'domusela. Pasuk we say in Kriya Shema Lamita, tremble and don't sin, say in your heart while on your bed, v'domusela, during silence. So the Gemara is understanding, look at Rashi, Amru bilva, Imru bilvavchem, Imru mashikosav alavavecha, say alavavecha, which is Shema, al mishkavchem, on your bed, shnemar b'shochbecha, when going to sleep, which is Shema, v'domu b'shein acharkin, and then fall asleep. So you see from this pasuk, rigzu v'yatechato, say bilvavchem, say alavavecha, on mishkavchem, when going to sleep, v'domu sela, and then collapse of exhaustion, and then fall asleep. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Im Tamar Chacham u Ein Sarach." However, if you're a Tamar Chacham, it's unnecessary to say Kriya Shema al Hamita. Why, says Rashi? Sherogo b'mishnoso lachzer agir soso tamid. Doyo b'kach. A Tamar Chacham who's always thinking in Torah is undoubtedly falling asleep to Torah thoughts, and the Torah thoughts reviewing his Torah of the day will serve to protect him, much as Kriya Shema is designed to do. Since he's already occupied with Torah thoughts, it's unnecessary to interrupt him with the recitation specifically of Kriya. Abai says, no, the Talmud Chacham at least has to say one pasuk of Rachamim. In your hands is my spirit, you redeem me, Hashem, God of truth. Continues the Gemara. Rashi's V'domu Sela, by the way, V'domu Sela. I'm sorry, in the next, let's go weiter. Amar Rav Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Le'olam yargiz adam yetzer tova yetzer hara, shenem harigzu v'al techetou. A person should always incite, invoke, try to get their yetzer hatov working, kicked into action, so it will defeat and be triumphant over its yetzer hara. Again, how do you know this? From the same pasuk, rigzu v'al techetou. If you're rigzu, if you aggravate, if you get, if you incite your yetzer hatov, then you will stop yourself from sin. Rashi yargiz zat yetzer hatov sheyasa melchamem yetzer hara. In other words, your yetzer tov should not be late and should not be asleep. Shouldn't be passive. Shouldn't be sedentary. Wake it up. If your yetzer hatov is working, then it will defeat your yetzer hara. Says the Gemara, imnitzchem mutav. Then lav yasuk b'torah. So that's fantastic. If your yetzer tov works, if your positive inclination works, if you're drawn to do the right thing, that's fantastic. But if it doesn't, yasak b'torah, you feel a moment of temptation, you feel a moment of desire, what you should do is occupy yourself with Torah. Shnemar imu b'vavchem, imru b'vavchem. Speak in your heart. In your heart is Torah. Im nitzchumutav. So if you defeat your yetzahara by having occupied yourself with Torah, fantastic. V'imlav yikra kriya shema. And if it didn't work, stop what you're doing and immediately say shema. Shne'emar amishkavchem, because it says amishkavchem, which we know means when going to sleep. What do you say when going to sleep? Shema. Im nitzcho mutav. If that works, fantastic. V'im lav yizkor lo yom amisa. And the final stance, the final strategy to confronting the Yetzirah is to think about the day of death. Shne'emar v'domu sela. V'domu sela means the day of silence. The ultimate silence, says Rashi, v'domu sela. Yom hadumiyahu yom hamavis. Shudumia olamis. What is a day of silence? It's death. Death is the ultimate silence. You no longer speak. So the Gemara's formula is a person feels overcome by temptation, overcome by desire. What they should do is first be yargiz yetzer atov, incite your yetzer tov. If that doesn't work, learn Torah. If that doesn't work, say Shema. If that doesn't work, think of the Yom HaMisa. Chazal always encouraged us to invoke the imagery of the Yom HaMisa. Our mortality is permanent. Our mortality reminds us that in the world to come, we no longer have Bechira Chavshis. This world is the world of choice. This world is the world in which we draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once we get into the next world where we don't have Bechira, we can't choose, we become stationary, we become stagnant, based on the results of the choices we made in this life. The Rambam writes a metaphor. the world to come. It's like a palace, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody wants to get in, everyone wants to have a good seat. But based on the choices we made in this world, we will determine where is our seat in the world to come. Are we in the palace? Are we in the king's chamber? Are we sitting at the base of the throne? Or are we outside the moat, not even in the palace? So you don't have Bechira in the world to come. So the ultimate strategy is Yom HaMisa. Some suggest that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is a dress rehearsal for Yom HaMisa. Yom Kippur is the ultimate motivator of tshuva, because by dressing in our kittel, which is we literally will be buried in, it's a dress rehearsal for death, and it's supposed to motivate us to live life. There's a magnificent gra. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, Rav Eliyahu Kramer, says the following. The Pasuk says, we say it every morning, Yehi Chvod, Rabos Machshavos Belev Ish, man has many thoughts. We have a Yetzirah, we have many desires. Rabos Machshavos Belev Ish, Va'atzas Hashem Hi, Sakum. God's advice is, Sakum, overcome, stand firm. Says the Vilna Gaon, the word Sakum, Tof Kuf Mem, is an acronym for Torah Kriya Shema Misa. So based on this Gemara, Rabbos Machshavos, we have a big Yetzer Hara, but the Gemara gives us the solution, the antidote, the formula is, if you feel the Yetzer Hara, Sakum, Tough, Torah. If it doesn't work, Im Nitzcho Mutav, if it doesn't work, then Kriyashma, Kuf. If that doesn't work, then Mem, think about the Yom HaMis. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mai Dichsiv et Neluchas HaLuchos HaEven, I will give you the Luchos, the tablets, the Torah, the Torah and the mitzvah that I've written to teach you. So what is this pasuk referring to? Luchos elu aseres hadibros. When God says, I'll give you the luchos, he means the decalogue, the 10 statements, what we refer to as aseres hadibros. Even the Torah calls it aseres hadvarim. When Hashem says, he'll give us Torah, what was he referring to? Zemikra. What's mikra? Rashi says, chumash, shemitzvah likros b'torah. When Hashem says mikra, he means, I'm giving you chumash, chumash. Now, sometimes Mikra means all of Tanakh. In our Gemara, Mikra means, Rashi says, Chumash. V'amitzvah, what did it mean when Hashem said, I'm giving you Mishnah? Mitzvah, Zu Mishnah. Rashi, she is asku b'mishnah. The Mishnah are the headings for Halacha, the interpretations of the application of the derivations of oral law from Chumash. Asher kasafti, what does it mean? I'm giving you that which I've written. Eilu neviyim uksuvim. I'm giving you Nach. Neviim Aksuvim. And Lahoro Sam to teach Zeh Gemara. Rashi Zeh Gemara. Svarasitami HaMishnayas HaMena Yotzah Hora. The Mishnayas are written as headings. It's an outline of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara are the extrapolations, the debates, the arguments, the analysis of that Torah Shabbat Peh. So Lahoro Sam to teach them means Gemara, the analysis. So Malamit Shekulam Nelson Lamosha Misinai. So you see from this Pasuk and the extrapolation of each of these things, Aseres Adibros, Chumash, Nach, Mishnah, Gemara, you see that all were given to Moshe at Har Sinai. Moshe was not just handed the Torah Shebichsav, he was not just handed Torah as we know it, but he was given Torah Shebaal Peh as well. If you look at the order that the Gemara provides, it's very interesting. I would have thought that you would have said, Aseres HaDibros, fine. Even Aseres HaDibros is somewhat of a chiddush, because the Gemara elsewhere in Brachos, we'll get to it, says there was a time when Chazal wanted to institute saying Aseres HaDibros every day as part of Kriya Shema. Ultimately, they reversed their decision. Why? Because people would think that Aseres HaDibros is more significant than other parts of Torah, and therefore they nullified, we no longer say Aseres HaDibros as part of davening. In fact, there's a whole halachic literature based on a letter of the Rambam and many tshuvas, the Tzitz Eliezer, Yechavadas, and others, this past Shabbos V'Eschanan. Should one stand for Aseres HaDibros? Given that Chazal said we don't include Aseres HaDibros in davening because we don't single it out lest people think it's a more significant part of the Torah, should we stand for Aseres HaDibros? The Rambam was very much opposed to standing for Aseres HaDibros based on the Gemara. Others say you do. Some say the minhag of this shul is to stand from the beginning of the Aliyah so as not to single out Aseres HaDibros in particular. So it's interesting the Gemara singles out Aseres HaDibros. Fine. After Aseres HaDibros, what would you say? What the Gemara says, Mikra, Chumash. What would you say after Chumash? Nach. Neviim Uksuvim. The Gemara doesn't. It says, Aseres HaDibros, Chumash, Mishnah, Nach, Gemara. They're all given to Moshe Mesinai. Interesting, Chazam may have hinted to their priority in terms of the order of our learning Torah. Because we know they placed preference or precedence to learning Mishnah before learning Nach. The Gemara says elsewhere that Nach can lead people astray, the philosophy of Nach, if you're not trained or learning properly.
Yeah, Gemara is after Nach.
Yeah, Gemara is after Nach. But Mishnah, which is the core of Torah Shabbat Peh, appears before Nach, which is interesting. Okay. Shekula Nisul Moshe Misenai, all of it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. If Haigon and others write, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed Moshe a Chumash. Did he give him the stone chumash, or the Hertz chumash, or the Lubavitch chumash? Which chumash did Hashem give Moshe at Har Sinai? The answer is he didn't give him any chumash per se. He gave him mitzvos, the historical events. Moshe, if he gave him all chumash, Moshe should have descended from the mountain knowing exactly what was going to happen, including the mistakes he was destined to make in Klal Yisrael. So he didn't give him the historical events. The Gonim write that Moshe came down with mitzvos. The historical events, every time they occurred, Hashem would summon Moshe to the Ohel Moed. He would come to the Ohel Moed. Hashem would say, take dictation, and he would dictate exactly how he wanted it recorded, the historical event. There were all of these scrolls that towards the end of Moshe's life became combined, sewn together into the Torah as we know it. Which also explains the principle of Ein Muktam Mu'uchar BaTorah. Torah is not necessarily in chronological order, because Moshe had all of these scrolls which were not necessarily sewn in chronological order, according to Rashi and others. They were sewn together in thematic order. But Kula Nisun LaMoshe Misinai, Moshe at Har Sinai got not only Torah Shebachsav, he received the Torah Shebaapeh and the major principles of the Nevi'im Uksuvim as well. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Vayter in the Gemara, Kol HaKorah Kriya Shema Al Mitaso, Ki Ilo Ocheiz Cherev Shostei Pipiyos Biado. A person who says Shema Al Amita, which is protective, it's as if they're holding a sword of two points, a double-edged sword in their hand. Shenema Roma Moskel Begronam, V'cheref Pipiyos Biadam. The exaltedness of God is in their throat through saying Kriya Shema, and as a result of saying Kriya Shema, you have a double-sided sword in your hand. My Mashem. What does it mean that, by the way, double-edged sword? Why do you need that? Rashi says, Laharogis Hamazikim. Because when you go to bed at night, you're particularly vulnerable and susceptible to mazikin, to spiritual forces. In order to guard us from those spiritual forces, that's why one needs to say Shema, and it functions as a double-edged sword in protecting ourselves. That's what the Gemara said earlier. The Talmud Chacham was occupied in learning, has that protective element. By the way, what we'll see on the next daf also, this concept of mazikin, these spiritual forces. What does it mean? We believe in mazikim, shaden. How does rational man come to understand what it means, these spiritual forces? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal, Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk in Chicago, and Rosh Yeshiva in New York at YU, the Rav's brother, Reb Chaim's grandson. So Rav Aaron has an essay about this in his book. Maybe we'll talk more about it tomorrow, according to Rambam and others. How does modern man, how does rational man understand the concept of mazikim? But here the Gemara is assuming when you go to sleep at night, you're vulnerable, which can understand not to necessarily mean spiritual forces, but sleep is dangerous. Tragically, many have not woken from their sleep. We are vulnerable. So we need protection of Shema. My Mashma, what pasuk, where do we learn this from? Amar Marzutra Vitema Ravashi Miresha Dinyana. Because the pasuk that before this, Tehsiv, Yalzu Chasidim Bechavod, Yirananu Amishkevosam, it says that the righteous ones, Chasidim, rejoice in glory. They sing Al Mishkevosam when going to sleep, namely Kriya Shema Lamita. Uksiv Basrei, Roma Moskeb Begronam, Vacherapi Bios Biadam. So when you say, when you glorify God, exalt God, Al Mishkevosam, when going to sleep, then Cherapi then it's like you have a sword, a double-edged sword, to be able to fight that which one is vulnerable to at night. If you say Shema at night, you keep the forces away. Shenemar uvene reshef yagbi uf. The spirits soar. Ve'ein uf ela Torah shenemar hasa'if einecha bo ve'einenu. So you see, uf is Torah, and if you engage in Torah, the spirits soar, then you push away the spirits, you push away the mazikim, one is not vulnerable. Ve'ein reshef, how do you know in the pasuk from Eov that reshef are mazikim? Shenemar mezei ra'av uluchume reshef, the ketev meriri. Mizei Rav, the bloating from the famine, Luchume Reshef, the fighting with the Reshef, which are the Mazikin. The Ketiv Meriri is the name of one of the Mazikin. Look at Rashi. Ubnei Reshef Yagbiu Uf, Ha'uf Mesalik Mimcha. Torah forces away the Mazikin. Ketiv Meriri is Hashem Sheid Hatzaharayim. Sachem Kuf Yidal teaches us that this Ketiv Meriri is the name of a demon who attacks in the afternoon. I'm sorry, that's the next. Vayter. Not only if you say Kriya Shema Lamita do you force away the demons, if you occupy yourself with Torah, learning Torah pushes away the negative force. The shnemar uf v'nei reshav yagbi uf. V'ein uf el ha-torah shnemar ha-sof einecha bo ve'einenu. V'ein reshav el yisurin shnemar mizei ra'av v'lo chamei reshav. The same two psukim are combined to teach us that uf is Torah, and reshav now is understood not as mezikin. Reshav in the second learning is understood to be the yisurin. Come on, teach me something new. I don't need even Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, even kindergarten kids in yeshiva who aren't familiar with Eov, with Sefer Eov, they still know that learning Torah pushes away Yisurin, pushes away Mazikin. If you listen to the voice of Hashem, you do everything which is honest, and you listen to His mitzvos, and you keep His laws, all of the illness that I placed upon you in Egypt, that Egypt suffered from, I won't place upon you, because I am God the healer. So you see from that pasuk that if you listen to God's Torah, if you learn Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes, God takes away the damage, the dangers, those that things that threaten us. So every kid knows that. What'd you have to come up with this fancy limud? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi alav yisurin michu arin v'ochrin oso. But it means anyone who has the opportunity to learn Torah and does not learn Torah, God visits upon them harsh yisurin. Harsh yisurin means suffering, challenges. A person doesn't have a life of serenity and tranquility, but they face challenges. Va'ochren oso. And these yisurin, this suffering is so harsh that it defines the person's life. It swallows the person, it makes them disgusting. Shne'emar ne'elamti dumia. Hechashisi mituv ucheivi ne'echar. I'm silenced. I'm mute from my silence. I'm silenced from the good ucheivi ne'echar, and my pain makes me repulsive. Ve'ein tuv. So what does it mean? I became silent from tuv. Ein tuv el Torah. Shnema ki lekav tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. So tov is Torah. Hechashisi mituv. If I am silent from tov means I don't learn Torah. I have opportunities, I have shiurim to go to, I have opportunities to learn Torah, and I don't. If I pass up the opportunities to learn Torah, then I expose myself to suffering. Suffering is visited upon me. Kosh Baruch Hu has to do something to jolt me, to remind me to come and to engage in dialogue with Him. I think it was the Rav who said so beautifully, in davening we talk to Hashem, in Torah Hashem talks to us. We engage in a dialogue in life with the Almighty. When we daven, we're talking to the Ribono Shel Olam, and when we learn Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam is talking to us. What kind of relationship is it if we do all the talking? No one wants to be in a relationship where only one party does all the talking and they never know how to listen. So if all we do is talk but we don't learn Torah, we're doing all the talking and we're not doing any listening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to interrupt the relationship. He has to walk out, he has to turn his back for a moment, he has to expose us and make us vulnerable to the challenges of life, to remind us to re-engage in the relationship and to do some listening. Weiter. Amar Rabbi Zerav Itamar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Bo'urei shalok midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam midas basar v'dam adam mocher chifetz l'chaviro mocher atzei v'lokeach sameach. Look how different HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is so categorically different than man. Why? Man sells an object to his friend, the seller is sad, and the buyer is happy. First of all, is that true? Usually the seller is very happy too. He made a sale. In this economy, the seller is thrilled. So look at Rashi. Hamocher atzev, top of the left side, there's no Tosfos, so Rashi continues. Hamocher atzev shepirish mihimenu, davar chashev kizeh, umitoch dochko mochro. We're not talking about stam, a person who has a storefront. A merchant is very happy to sell. We're talking about somebody who has fallen on such hard times, they have to pawn off their wares. So somebody is forced to sell their precious jewelry in order to make a few bucks. When they sell that precious jewelry, the seller is sad and the buyer is happy. God gave us the Torah. Nevertheless, he was happy. So first of all, you can ask, it bothered me, where's the parallel? How does the analogy work? Normally when someone sells an object, the seller no longer retains a relationship with the object. If I sell you my precious jewelry, because I need money and I'm forced to because of the economic situation. I'm sad having had to sell to you. You're happy having to have it. I no longer have a relationship with the jewelry. Where's the analogy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Torah. He nevertheless stays happy, and of course we're happy to have it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has Torah, doesn't he?
The Tanai.
What?
The Tanai. Doesn't he have a...
What's the Tanai?
The obligation that the Jews have to keep it.
Oh, we have an obligation to keep it, but why? What's the Chiddush that he stays happy? The seller usually doesn't see the jewelry again. Even though God shares his Torah with us, I would liken it more to sharing Torah with us than giving it to us. So he's not giving it over to us in a way that he'll no longer be connected with it. Right?
He gave us the power to pass in the dead.
Oh, so the Nesivos Rav Yaakov Milisa says exactly that in his parish on the Agadata. He says, if you remember the Tanurach, you remember the Achnai, the whole Sugya Lo Bashamayim Hi. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah that we don't listen to a bas kol. If we're unsure exactly how to paskin, if we're unsure what the halacha is, in whose who gets to decide? In whose venue is Torah? Who has sovereignty over Torah? No longer Hashem. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's no longer in the heavens. He doesn't decide. We don't listen to a bas kol, but rather we follow the rov. We have principles of halacha. Lo b'shamayim hi. We decide halacha. So he says that's, and Aaron says that's exactly the pshat. Kadosh Baruch Hu is likened to the mocher, to the seller who parts with his wares, because true, he didn't part with Torah per se, he shared it with us. But he parted with the right to paskin, the right to decide halacha, he gave over to man. And nevertheless, even though he parted, he remains sameach, he remains happy, because state in the pasuk, yilekav ton asati lachem, torasi al tazovu. Okay, weiter. Omar Rava, v'itemar Rav Chista, im ro adam shir sirin bo'an alav, yifashvish b'masav. If a person sees their suffering, they have illness, they're constantly at the doctor, financially they've fallen on hard times, they're having trouble from their children, they don't have nachas, they see they have yisurim, what should they do? Yefashvesh v'masav. They should examine their ways. Shenemar nachbasa d'rachin v'nachkorov v'nashuva ad Hashem. Pasuk says that when we just read it in Eicha, examine our path and investigate and return to Hashem. Pishpesh v'lo matzah, person examined their ways and they didn't see anything particular they're doing wrong. Now, it doesn't mean they discovered that they were perfect. Nobody's perfect. Look at Rashi. Pishpesh v'lo matzah, lo matzah avera biyado, shebishvilo ru'uyin, yisur nalala lavau. It doesn't mean that they examined and they discovered they were perfect. If that's what they discovered, then that's their problem. That's the errant perfection. What it means is they examined their ways and they didn't find anything so horrible they were doing that was worthy of the suffering they were enduring. So then why are they suffering so terribly? Yitla b'bitl Torah. They should assume the reason they're suffering is because they didn't learn properly. Fortunate is the man, praiseworthy is the man, who God brings upon suffering. And what say a person assumed it was because of bitl Torah they weren't learning, but the truth is v'lo matzah. But they are learning. They go to the Daf Yomi, and then they go to listen to another Daf Yomi at night, and then they're learning in between, and they're listening on the way to work, and listening to Torah on the way home from work. They're learning all the time. So why are they suffering? Why are they Yisurin? Biyaduash Yisurin Shal Avahim. So they know that these are Yisurin Shal Ava. What are Yisurin Shal Ava? Yisurin Shal Ava means that not all suffering is reciprocal for errors in judgment that we make. Not everything visited upon us can be directly correlated to an avera that we do. But sometimes good people suffer. Why? Because God wants to give them a greater portion in the world to come. Look at Rashi, Yishur and Shalava. Kadosh Baruch Hu miyasro ba'olam hazeh b'lo shum avon kidei laharba schara ba'olam haba yoser mechtei zuchu yosav. If they're visited with suffering in this world, then they will be able to gain even greater merit in the world to come beyond what they deserve. The reward in the world to come will be greater than what they deserve if they're visited with suffering in this world. This is a very, very important principle because it means that we don't... Our job when we suffer is to be mefashvish b'masav, is to try to figure out how can we grow, what can we learn, how can we improve. But when we see someone else suffering, God forbid should we ever sit in judgment. And God forbid should we ever try to identify or suggest that we know why they're suffering. This or that avera that they did. To suggest that means we're God. And it's very possible that the reason they have it is Yisurin Shal Ava. It has nothing to do with an avera that they did. It has to do with this principle of Yisurin Shel Ava, of God wanting to give greater schar in the world to come, so He brings suffering in this world. How do we know the concept of Yisurin Shel Ava? Says the Gemara Shneamar, Ki es asher ye'ahav, Hashem yochiach. Whom God loves, yochiach. Ki es asher ye'ahav Hashem, yochiach. The person that God loves, He brings upon them reproof, yochiach, He brings upon them suffering. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Schor, Amar Rav Huna, Kosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bo Medach O B'Yisurin. When God loves somebody, He crushes them, He obliterates them, He attacks them with Yisurin. Shneamar V'Hashem Chafetz Dach O HaChali. God loves somebody, He attacks them, He obliterates them, He crushes them with suffering. Yachal Afilo Lo Kibla Me'ava Talmud Lomar Im Tasim Asham Nafsho. What if a person doesn't accept them, Yahva? Say, God, thanks for loving me so much. I could do without the illness and the suffering and the poverty. I'll take your love in other ways. Love me less and let me not suffer. See, Im Tasim Asham Nafsho. Ma Asham Ladas, Af Yisurin Ladas. The Pasuk says, Im Tasim Asham Nafsho. A korban Asham is brought when a person does an Avera B'Shogeg. A person does an Avera by mistake. The Asham, the korban, is brought. But it has to be Ladas. They have to know they did something wrong. So similarly here, the Yisurin have to be welcomed. Ladas. Person has to be aware that they're getting Yisurin and accept them.
Isn't there a passage where one of the Tanoim is suffering and his Talmidim come over and...
Oh, we're about to see.
They say, Elohim, he doesn't want the Yisurim and he doesn't want...
Oh, we're about to see right now, Vayter. Vimkir, oh, you see, Baruch Hashem, you've been through the daf a few times. You already intuit it. Vimkir le mascharo, and if you accept Yisurin. So a person is suffering, and they say to the Almighty, I don't enjoy it, I don't welcome it, I don't want it, but if you're bringing it upon me, I accept it. Mascharo, what's the reward? Yira zera yarech yamim. They'll see their children live a long life. V'lo od ashal tamudom iskayim biyado. Not only that, they will be successful in their learning. Shenemar v'chifetz Hashem biyado yatzliach. Upligi baravak yankev bar idi v'rabbi acha bar chanina chad amar elahin yisurin shalava kosha imbehem bitol Torah. Shenemar asher agev asher tiyasrenu yo. Umitara aschas salam denu. So one says, it's yisurin shalava when you don't have bitol Torah. If the suffering that you endure causes you to not learn, person becomes so sick that they're in bed, they can't even open a Gemara, their head hurts so badly they can't concentrate. If the Yisurin are causing you not to be able to learn, they're not Yisurin Shel Ava, says the first Talmud. The Chadamar, and the second one says, Elahin Yisurin Shel Ava Koshim Behem Bitol Tefila Shneimar Baruch Elokim Asher Lo Yisi Tefila Siv V'Chasdo Me'iti. No, it's called Yisurin Shel Ava when it doesn't cause you to miss davening. If it causes you to miss davening, you're so sick in bed, you're so terribly incapacitated, you can't daven, that's not Yisurin Shel Ava. So which is it? How do you know? Is it that it causes you to miss learning? Is it causes it to miss you to davening? That's a machlok. I lost the place. Amar Rav Yochanan, Eilav Eilav Yisurin Shel Ava. Hein. He said, you know what? They're both Yisurin Shel Ava. Shneamar ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. The one God loves, He is yochiach. Ela ma talmud lomar umisor ascha silam denu. So even if you miss davening and miss learning, it's still Yisurin Shel Ava. So what did the pasuk mean that you learn Torah? Al tikrei silam denu ela silam denu. It doesn't mean that even with the Yisurin you have the ability to learn. It means we learn it from the Torah. Selam Deinu, you teach us from your holy Torah the concept of accepting Yisurin Shel Ava. Davarzemi Torascha Selam Deinu. And where do we learn it from? Kal v'chomer mishen v'ayin. Mashen v'ayin shein echad me'ivar shel adam eved yotzei mehem l'cheirus. So a slave whose master hits him, Eved Kenani, a Canaanite slave whose master hits him, and he loses his eye or his tooth, what happens to that slave?
He goes free.
So Yisurin Shememarkin Kol Gufo Shel Adam Alachas Kama V'Kama. If all he does is lose one tooth, he gets to go free. So if God slams us, if God hits us over the head with a hammer, we're unemployed, our bank account, we're a foreclosure, we're God forbid diagnosed with an illness, we suffer, not just a tooth or an eye, Alachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so, we go free. There's something called the Bris Melach. We actually just spoke about it in the Kina that we read on Tisha B'Av in the keynotes for the Kohanim, we alluded to the fact that they could no longer observe the Bris Melech. Bris Melech, the Torah obligates us, the korbanos that are brought on the Mizbeach have to be done with salt. And there's a promise, there's a covenant, if we bring salt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over us. This is why we have the minhag of, every time we eat bread, we dip it in salt. People think that that's a halacha on Shabbos. But the truth is it's a halacha in Betzias HaPas. Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, the second chelak of Mishnah Berurah. There's a halacha. Every time you eat bread, it's brought down by the Mekubalim that you're not supposed to just put the salt on the bread. You dip the bread in the salt three times. Bris Melech, we invoke the Bris Melech like the Mizbeach, because our, now that we don't have a Mizbeach, our Shulchan is like our dining room table, our kitchen table, the cafeteria table is like the Mizbeach. So the Gemara here says, the Bris Melech, the Pasuk of Bris Melech, is parallel to the Bris of Yisurin. So just like the Bris Melech, when you pour salt on meat, it draws out the blood and it sweetens the meat. So too, when you pour Yisurin on a person, it draws out the Avonos. It is mechaper for the mistakes that we have made, and it sweetens what remains. We remain more pure as a result. It purges us of the errors, the indiscretions of our ways. Says the Gemara Vayit, there's an infinite amount to say. The challenge of Daf Yomi. It's an infinite amount to say on every one of these statements. There's beautiful Divrei Torah and insights, but not a lot of time. Tanya Rabbi Shem Ben Yochai Omer, Shalosh Matanas Tovos Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, V'kulam L'Nasna El Ayidei Yisurim. God gave three beautiful gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared three magnificent gifts with the Jewish people, and all of them are given to us with Yisurim. Eilahein, and they are Torah, Eretz Yisrael, V'olam Haba. You want to acquire Torah, it comes with suffering. It's not easy. The greatest Talmidei Chachamim that we have suffered. And you can interpret suffering in many ways here. They forfeited making $1 billion. They forfeited honor. Sometimes being a great Talmud Chacham comes with bizayon. They forfeited the worldly pleasures. They sat poring over Torah rather than engaging in the physical, material pleasures of the world. You can interpret Yisurin in many ways, but acquiring Torah takes Yisurin. If you're not prepared to sacrifice for Torah, for Amelis and Yigia, to work hard and toil in Torah, right? M'chukosai teilecho, mishamemis atzma. You have to be willing to kill yourself over Torah, and it's not going to happen. Torah minayin shnei ma'asher. I give asher to yasrenu yomi tarascha salam denu. Our pasuk. Fortunate is the man who God afflicts him. When we saw tarascha salam denu, what he learns from Torah. So you see that the Torah learning that you receive comes with affliction. It requires challenges. Eretz Yisrael dechsev ki kasher yaser ishes beno Hashem alokecha mi yasrecha uksin basrei ki Hashem alokecha mi viyachal eretz atova. So acquiring Eretz Yisrael, tragically we know all too well, comes with challenges, affliction, the loss of life, rockets. Just yesterday, two jeeps trying to infiltrate the border into Israel. Baruch Hashem, a miracle of miracles. Hodul Hashem kitov. We don't even begin to appreciate. I don't know those who followed the news yesterday. Terrorists in the Sinai captured two Egyptian jeeps after murdering 15 Egyptian soldiers and tried to infiltrate an Israeli base. And the IDF, through an airstrike, was successful in taking them out with absolutely no casualties, no injuries, nothing. Mamash Chesed Elyon. But Eretz Yisrael comes with Yisurin. It doesn't come easy. It's required tremendous suffering. And Olam Haba Dechsev Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or V'Derechayim Tochechos Musar. So Olam Haba as well, the world to come. It says Ner Mitzvah. A mitzvah is like the candle. The Torah or the light is Torah. The Derech Chaim and the way of life, Tochechos Musar, is the Musar, is the suffering. Look at Rashi. Derech Chaim Chaya Olam Haba Havin La Tochechos Musar La Adam. Derech Chaim is a metaphor. Means for the world to come. Doesn't mean the way of life in this world. It means the access to the world to come is through suffering. Tani tama kamed Rabbi Yochanan kolosik b'torah v'mles chasadim v'kover es banav mochlunah kol avunosav. Somebody who, one of these three, if you either occupy yourself fully in Torah, or in gemilas chasadim, you're engaged in doing tremendous chasid, or chalila, God forbid, lo aleinu kover es banav, a person who buries a child, mochlunah kol avunosav. Instantly, you are forgiven for your indiscretions, for your mistakes. How do you know? Amar le'Rabbi Yochanan Bishlam Torah Gminas Chasadim Seid Bechesed Ve'Emes Yechupar Avon. I understand. I'm sorry, I'm reading quickly, but we don't have a lot of time. I understand that Chesed, if you do acts of kindness, Ve'Emes is Torah, and you learn Torah, that Yichupar avon, that you're forgiven. Chesed zgmulas chasadu shnemar odev tzedakah v'chesed yim tzachayim tzedakah v'chavod. Person who pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and righteousness and honor. So you see that running after chesed or pursuing chesed, doing chesed brings life, means forgiveness for your iniquity. Emes zu Torah shnemar, emes kinei v'al timkor. Acquire emes and don't sell it. So what is that you should acquire and never sell? Torah. So you see that the study of Torah, if you're a masmid, if you're learning Torah, you're forgiven for your sins. Ela kover es banav minayin. Where do you see that enduring the horrible, horrible experience, lo aleinu, the worst thing anyone could ever wish upon their enemy, the worst thing we could ever have is burying a child. How do we know that in response to, God forbid, burying a child, the person is forgiven? It says, with chesed and emes, avon, iniquity is forgiven. And it says in Yirmiyah that God will deliver the iniquity of the father on the chayk, on the bosom of the child. So the loss of the child suffers because of the parent, so that atones for the mistake of the parent. You have a whole other theological problem. It's discussed in the third parak of Sanhedrin. Those who learned the third parak of Sanhedrin last year with Rabbi Rabinovicki, remember, there's an astira between two psukim. You know, which is it? We're going to get into it. Children and parents don't die for each other's sins. Everyone is evaluated only on their own. So why here? What does it mean that if a child dies, it's because of the parent, and it serves to atone for the parent? How could that be? So the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin says, if the avon of the parent is biyado of the child, so the child continues in the path of the parent. That's what they've learned from the parent, then that's what it means. But there's all, it's a further discussion over there. Rabbi Yochanan says, a person who suffers from tzara'as, if a person has leprosy, or, God forbid, bonim, we'll have to define what that means, they're not yisurin shel ava. In other words, there's some types of suffering that a person can say, I haven't done anything wrong. Why is God visiting this suffering upon me? Because He wants me to have a greater portion of the world to come. But if one is visited with leprosy or with the pain of their children, then that's not God loving you. That you know with certainty, says Rabbi Yochanan, is because of a mistake. When you go in low, really, negayim only can't be yisurin shel ava. V'hatanya, it says in a brayso kol mishiyish b'yochad mi'arba maros. Negayim alalu einan ela mizbach kapara. Says the brayso, a person who has one of these four types of leprosy. Rashi enumerates what they are: seis, beharis, and so on. A person who has one of the four types of leprosy, it's a mizbach kapara. What's mizbach kapara? Like the altar of forgiveness, as if they brought a korban. It serves to atone. So serving to atone sounds like Yisurin Shalava. So the Gemara says, no, Mizbach Kapara Havu, Yisurin Shalava Lo Havu. No, it serves to atone for a mistake, and that gufa is not Yisurin Shalava. Yisurin Shalava means you didn't make any mistake. God visits the suffering upon you to give you a greater portion of the world to come, but you haven't made any mistake. So you see, no, it's not that Negaim, if a person suffers from Negaim, it's not Yisurin Shalava. Or you could answer, it depends where you are when you experience these Negaim. Look at Rashi. Third line from the top of Rashi. Be'eretz Yisrael, she'ari choma mikudashos ba, u'mitzara to'an shilua chutzulahen, einin yisurin shalava. See, in Eretz Yisrael, walled cities are sanctified, are sacred, are holy. If a person is struck with leprosy, they are exiled from the city. They're sent mi'chutz l'machane. So they're not yisurin shalava. But be'bavel, she'ein tu'un shiluach, v'hein mizbach kapara v'yisurin shalava. In Bavel, where when you're struck with negayim, it's not because you're in a city that can't tolerate your behavior. So there it's yisurin shel ava. So the second answer Gemara gave is, are negayim, if you get leprosy, is that yisurin shel ava? Or is it in response to a mistake you made? It depends where you are. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not yisurin shel ava. In Bavel, it can be. V'iba, he's saying, my third answer, habitzino habafarhesia. It depends, are the negayim in a place where people see befarhesia? Or bitzino, Rashi says, tachas begadav. Is the leprosy on your face where everyone sees? Or is it in a private place where no one sees? If it's a place where everyone sees, then it's a mizbach kapara. It's atoning for a sin. If it's a place nobody sees, it's Yisrael Shalava. Ubanam, now the Gemara continues. And if God forbid a person suffers through their children, that can't be Yisrael Shalava. So how do you define what was banim? What did he mean banim? When Rabbi Yochanan said these two things are not Yisrael Shalava, what did he mean by banim? This cryptic reference to banim. So Avraham Rabbi Yochanan. So did he mean a person had children already and they died? Hamar Biyochanan, den garma da'asira abir. Rabbi Yochanan was once trying to comfort someone and he said, look, this is the bone of my 10th son whom I've lost. Rabbi Yochanan buried 10 sons. He lost 10 children. So obviously Rabbi Yochanan would not be saying to somebody else that when you lose children it's in response to your own sin, because here Rabbi Yochanan went through it himself. Look at Rashi. Din garma da'asira abir ze'etzem shal ben asiri shemeslo.
Which Rabbi Yochanan is this? Rabbi Yochanan is Zakkai?
No, Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. I think. I'm not sure. It's a good question. So, by the way, and Rashi continues, by the way, Beer, Kamobar, Vitzar, Etzem, Pachos, Mikisaura, Mimena, Besodro, Lagmas, Nefesh. Now, you would have asked, Rashi comes to answer. It's bothered me when I learned this. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan held on to this bone every time he paid a Shiva call. He whipped out the bone of his son and said, you know, let me comfort you. I lost 10 children. Wasn't he obligated to bury that bone? It's a chi of kfura. You're not allowed to hold on to a bone. So Rashi says it's pachos mikisaura. It's less than the size of a barley grain, which is less, which is metame, less than that which contaminates and may not be obligated in burial. So he held on to that which is a minimum shear, wouldn't be obligated to bury, and he can use it. Tosos describes that he used it in order to be comfort other people. Awesome. Others say that he held on to a tooth. It wasn't a bone, it was a tooth. Tooth is not obligated in burial. Ela hadalav havalu klal v'hadavaluhu umesu. So rather, you have to understand that when Rabbi Yochanan said bonim is not Yisur and Shalava, he didn't mean that you had children and they died. He meant somebody who suffers from infertility. If a person suffers from infertility, they can't say that it's Yisur and Shalava. There's a reason, and they should be mefashish b'masav. They should try to discover the reason. It's a difficult thing for us to understand, but that's the Gemara's assertion. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba chalash, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba got sick. All lagabe Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went up to see him. Amar lei chaviven alach yisurin. This is what you were referring to, Rabbi Goldstein. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, "Nu, how do you like the yisurin? How's your illness? You visit him in the hospital. Nu, how do you like that IV bag? Is that treating you well? Amar lei lohein velo scharan. I'm not interested in this illness, and I'm not interested in the reward for having had it. So Amar lei havli yadcha. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Give me your hand. Yoyev lo yadei v'ukmei." So Rabbi Yochanan took his hand into his hand, and he was able to heal him. Rabbi Yochanan was able to heal him. Rabbi Yochanan chalosh. Rabbi Yochanan got sick. Ola gabe Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina went up to him. Amalei chavivin alach yisurin. He said, "How do you like them yisurin? How are they treating you, that diagnosis?" Amalei lohein velos charen. So the great Rabbi Yochanan said, "I'm not interested. I'm suffering so terribly. I'm not interested in the yisurin, and I'm not interested in the reward that I'm destined to get by having them." So amalei havli yadcha yav la yadei v'ukmei. So he gave him. He said, "Give me your hand." Rabbi Chanina said, "Give me your hand." Rabbi Yochanan gave him his hand and he healed him. So Amai Lukim Rabbi Yochanan Anafshe. If Rabbi Yochanan in the story right beforehand had the ability to heal, so why didn't Rabbi Yochanan heal himself? So Amri Ein Chavish Matir Atzma Beis Asurim. The answer is, a person who is in prison can't release himself from prison. So Rabbi Yochanan, who is outside of prison, could heal someone else. But when he himself was sick, he didn't have the capacity to heal himself. Rabbi Eliezer Chalosh. Rabbi Eliezer got sick. Ola Gabi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar. Ola Gabi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went up to see Rabbi Lazar. Chaz Dabi Kagani. The Beis Ophel, he saw that he was lying sick in a dark room. So Galya Ladare, he revealed his arm. Rabbi Yochanan had the most beautiful skin. This is for sure the Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, because the Gemara in Kedushin that talks about Rabbi Yochanan inspires Reish Lakish, give up your life as a thief. Yeah. You think, I'm good looking, I have a sister who's even prettier than I am. Rabbi Yochanan was known to be beautiful. I always like to say, elsewhere the Gemara in Baba Basra refers to Rabbi Yochanan as a Baal Basar. Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit overweight. In Kedushin it says that he was magnificently handsome. In Baba Basra he says he was a Baal Basar. So you see, you could be a little bit chunky and still be beautiful. Baruch Hashem. So So here he had magnificent skin. Gal Yildare, he reveals his arm. V'nafal Nahora, so a light fell onto the room from the beautiful arm. Chazya Dehavi Kabachi Rebbe Lazar. So when the light filled the room, he saw that Rebbe Lazar was sitting there crying. Amalei Amai Kabachisa, why are you crying? Se'imishim Torah lo afshos. So if you're crying because you didn't accumulate, you didn't amass Torah in your life, Shaninu Echad Amar B'Vechad Amar Midvad Sheikha V'Libala Shamayim. Don't feel bad. You did what was in your power. You weren't Rav Yoshev Zatzal. You weren't Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. Okay, but you did your best. You went to the Daf Yomi. You learned as much as you could. And if you're upset because you weren't Steve Jobs, if you're upset because you weren't Warren Buffett, not everybody merits to have two tables, to have two homes, a vacation home. And if you're upset because of your children, you didn't merit to have children. Look, said Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Lazar. He whipped out from his wallet, this is the tooth, this is the bone of my tenth son that I buried. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Lazar said, you want to know why I'm crying? This is beautiful. I'm crying because of the beauty that sits before me that's ultimately going to be buried in the earth, that's going to return to the dust. Who was the beauty that sat before him? Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rabbi Yochanan turns the light on and sees Rabbi Lazar crying and assumes Rabbi Lazar is crying for himself, says, why are you crying? For Torah don't cry. For Parnassah don't cry. For children don't cry. Rabbi Lazar says, no. Rabbi Yochanan, you know why I'm crying? Because I look at you and how unbelievable you are, and the idea that you're mortal and that you're going to leave this world, for that I'm crying. It's a beautiful marsha. If you look at the marsha, we don't have time to read it inside. Marsha says, the Gemara elsewhere describes that Rabbi Yochanan was of the last handsome of Yerushalayim. The last handsome men of Yerushalayim. He had a glow of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe what Rabbi Lazar meant was, when you die, we will lose the connection to Yerushalayim. We will no longer be connected to Yerushalayim in the same way. So Rabbi Lazar was not just crying for Rabbi Yochanan, this great man is mere mortal, will pass. He was crying for the Churban. He was crying for the Churban itself. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Lazar, Aldov adai kabachis ubachu travayu. What a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Taka, that's worth crying for. Now, if you understand the Marsha, then it's not. The Pasha Pshat, Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, you're crying for me? That's taka worth crying for. It's a little hard to understand. Based on the Marsha, it's a little easier to understand. They kind of hug and cry together over the fact that we are mere mortals and that we will pass this world and the loss of a connection to Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara Vayter, Adahachi v'achi amalecha v'ivin alachi yisurin. So anyway, they finish the conversation. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Lazar, new? How are those yisurin treating you? You loving them? Amalei Elohein v'loschar, and I'm not interested in them. I'm not interested in the reward. Get me out of this hospital. Amalei havliyotcha yavlei yadei v'hukmei. So Rabbi Yochanan said, give me your hand. Rabbi Lazar gave him his hand. He healed him. Rav Huna takifu lei arba mei adani dechamra. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine that turned into vinegar that became sour. This great group of rabbis came up to him and they said tremendously comforting words, "La'ayin mar b'milei." Clearly you are deserving of this, you terrible person. Investigate your ways. Tell us what you did wrong. So Amar Lahu, so he said, you know, Shkoich, thanks for coming, good friends. Umi chashida ba'anaychu, am I so suspect in your eyes? Am I such a terrible person that you see me? You talk about, you know, kicking a man when he's down. My entire stock portfolio plummeted. You just saw the bank take away my house. And you come up to me as they throw my stuff on the street and you say, no, investigate what you did. You must have done something wrong. That's what you say to me. So I'm related. They said to him, Michashid Kadosh Baruch Hu da'avadina balodina. You're telling us that God would do this to you and there's not a reason? Are we suspicious of God that God would visit suffering on someone without a reason? So Amalahu, he said to him, so if you think I'm suspect of something, you're suspicious of me? Tell me what? What did I do wrong? So Amalei, they told him, you know what the reason is? Because you didn't give out branches to your aris. What's an aris? A sharecropper. If I have a field, but I don't want to work the field, so I hire somebody and I give them a portion of my field in exchange for working it. You work my field and you keep 50% of whatever we harvest. So not only do I give 50% in the case of a vineyard, not only do you get 50% of the grapes, you get 50% of the branches that have been pruned. So he says, they say, these great rabbis say to Rav Huna, you know why you're suffering? Because you didn't give the branches which were pruned to your aris. What was I supposed to give him? My sharecropper turned out to be a ganav. He took much more than belongs. So that what men say, look at Rashi. If you steal from someone who stole, you're also tasting the taste of stealing. Or, as our mothers taught us, put differently, two wrongs don't make a right. The fact that he stole from you doesn't entitle you to steal from him. The deal is the sharecropper gets 50% of the produce of the grapes. He also gets 50% of the branches which were pruned. So the fact that he stole from you didn't entitle you to keep or withhold these branches from him. So he says, I accept that I give to him. So he accepted it and he gave it to the sharecropper. So some say that his vinegar turned back into wine. And some say, no, the price of vinegar went up and it was worth more than wine. So either way, the point is that Rav Huna de Tshuva, by being ma'ayin, by being mefashvesh, by investigating his mistake, as a result of the experience, he repaired it and corrected it, and he therefore reversed the suffering that he was enduring. Tosfos asks a question which bothers all of us. The Gemara said, Dina b'lob Dina. Oh, should we be suspicious of the Almighty? Would the Almighty visit suffering upon somebody who doesn't deserve it? Ask Tosef, Harbe tzadikim yeshalokim begufam uvemamonam. What are you talking about? The Holocaust, the Inquisition, the Crusades. What are you talking about? Have we not seen righteous people suffer? So are we doubting God when we ask God, how could you make righteous suffer? It has to be they did something to deserve it. So Tosfos answers, no. There's no principle dina below dina. God does visit suffering upon people when it's Yisurin Shalava. Rav Chano Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed in the Holocaust. We don't assume he did something wrong. We assume it was Yisurin Shalava. We're not entitled to say he did something wrong. Dina below dina. Ah, so how did they say it to Rav Huna? So Tosfos says, because they had an inside track. They knew, they were tipped off. They were tipped off by somebody that he wasn't taking care of his sharecropper properly. So they didn't want to come at him directly. So they said to him, would God visit suffering upon you without a reason? They were trying to hint to him so he would arrive at the reason on his own. Let's just go drop more, 2 more minutes. I'm sorry. Tanya Abba bin Yamin, Omer Ashnei Dvarim Ha'isim Etztar Ko Yimai. 2 things I was worried all my life. On my davening that should be before my bed, and that my bed face north-south. What does it mean that my davening should be by my bed? If I meant that I should daven at my bed. There's a halacha. You're supposed to daven as close to the wall as possible, with no barrier, with no obstacle next to you. Chizkiyo turns his face to the wall. So lo tema lefnei, so it doesn't mean davening next to your bed, which would be an obstacle to the wall. But rather he meant samach limitasi. What is samach limitasi? Rashi. My whole life I was careful when I woke up in the morning not to do anything, including learning, until I davened. I didn't do anything until I davened. That's what he meant. I was always careful to daven samach limitasi. As soon as I woke up, I davened before I did anything else. Ask Tosos, what do you mean? Shaloyos malacha achi ispalel. Who said you're not allowed to learn before you daven? You're not allowed to do work before you daven. We learn this from a pasuk. Lo samor al adam. You can't stand by your blood. Al adam means al adamim, davening for your blood, for your welfare. So that's why you're not supposed to eat before you daven. That's why you're not supposed to do work before you daven. But says Tosos, who says you're not allowed to learn before you daven? So Tosos disagrees and amends it to understand, samach lamitasi, I never did work or ate before I davened. But certainly you're allowed to learn before you daven. So any of you going to the 8 o'clock minyan, you're okay. What do you mean when he said my bed faced north-south? If you put your bed from north to south, you'll have male children. And if you have your bed faced north to south, you also will not suffer any miscarriage. What does your bed facing north-south have anything to do with having children, or God forbid, having a miscarriage. Rashi and Tosfos both explain that, look at Tosfos, lo bein mizrach l'marav davka k'shiyash nemishto. He's not talking about chapen a shluf or a drimel. It's not talking about when you sleep, you have to be north-south. It's talking about when one has relations with their wives. Hayadavar genai l'shachiv etzel ishto mipnei hatashmish. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, dwells from east to west. So if you are lying east-west when having relations with your wife, you're violating the presence of the Shechina. It's inappropriate. So in order to have some sense of modesty, the bed should face north-south. And the reward for the bed facing north-south is continuity. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow morning.